2025. Whoever thunk it? No charismatic ever thought 2025 we would see this day. Amen. Some of you, and some folks, now there's some folks in here, folks, that don't even know what Y2K was about when the world ended. Glory to God. Amen. But we thank God for another day to live on this earth, another day to serve God, another day to be a child of God. Amen. Just another day here on the earth. Of course, we know we're going to be a child of God for what? Eternity. Isn't that wonderful? Glory to God. If you got your Bible, I want you to open up to Philippians chapter 3 with me tonight. In thinking about and praying about some things and, you know, concerning what to share tonight. And the, of course, you know, we've got some, everybody gets, you know, kind of everybody, every preacher almost feels obligated to give their word for the year. Breathe. That's my word for the year. Breathe. Just breathe every day. Breathe in, breathe out, you'll make it. Right? No, but in praying about this and the year to come, and you know, last year I did have a specific thing that God said to me, and that was that it was a year of change and transition. Change and transition, both naturally and spiritually. And of course, you know, if you look back on the year, I think all of us experienced something of that, you know, family-wise, spiritually. Hopefully you're not the same in 20 right now that you were a year ago. Hopefully you've grown, you've changed, you've done some transitioning. But it is an ongoing thing. And the thing that what I keep hearing in my spirit, maybe this is just for me, so you don't mind if I preach to myself tonight, and I'll share it with you, is that this is a year of reaching forth. Reaching forth. And we'll talk a little bit more about that. But I want Philippians 3, verse 13 and 14. This is the King James Bible. Brethren, that'd be sister and two, okay? I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do. Everybody say, this one thing I do. That's the title of my message tonight, this one thing I do. Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. This one thing I do. Now it's interesting, he calls it one thing that he does, but yet there's two parts to it. Did you notice that? So he says it this way, in one focused act, we must forget past things and reach forth to those things that are before us. It's one focused act. Now, it's one thing, yet it has two main parts to it, yet it is one action. You cannot do the one without the other. And you have to do it on purpose. It's one focused act of where we must forget past things and reach forth to those things that are before us. And as we said, this one focused act involves two parts. The first part is forgetting. Forgetting. Now, in the context of what he's talking about here, this is not a forgetting where you just obliterate a thought from your mind and it never comes back again. This is an ongoing driving out of thoughts that come to us concerning the past that are not helping us reach forth. Because, you know, there's sometimes in the Bible God says, remember. Amen. Remember. But you know, there's a lot of times where God said, you know, wherever you are, go forward. It's interesting there in Joshua chapter 1, we won't turn over there. But in verse 2, God told Joshua something that Joshua knew very well, but he said this to him, my servant Moses is dead. Then he told him, you go lead the people in. So what's he telling him? Forget, don't forget all the great things God did, but forget about Moses, he can't help you now. You go forward. And then he told him, as I was with Moses, I'll be with you. Forgetting It's not necessarily, again, it's not just obliterating, because sometimes people, you know, and we'll talk about it in the area of love and forgiveness and that type of thing, but they think they're never, ever going to remember that again if they forget it. No, you have to make a decision. So many times, you know, we want to wave the spiritual wand, if we will, over situations and just, whoo, you know, do some Jedi mind trick or something. I don't know what it is. But how many of you found out the things of God don't work that way? They are things that we must apply on a consistent basis. You've heard me say it before, that there are facts, and facts change all the time. I'm looking, there's a digital clock back there. It tells me it's 6 o'clock. It's 6:32. But then every second, that updates. There's a second part of it. And so it's already 6:33, 03, 04, 05, 06. See, the fact of what time it is constantly changing. Facts are subject to change. But truth, and when we talk about truth, I'm talking about the truth that comes from God. Truth that comes from God never changes. Why is that? Well, how many remember that the Bible says that Jesus was the Word made flesh? John chapter 1. Then in John 17:17, Jesus is praying right before he goes to through his trial and the persecution and all that, the cross and all that. But Jesus prays. He said, "Father, sanctify them." Talk about those who he's praying for, which included us. "Sanctify them by your truth. Your word, O Lord, is truth." So the word is the truth. God's word is true. And Jesus is the Word made flesh. And then Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8 gives us a great statement about Jesus, that he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. God's truth is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That's why he makes statements like, "I am the Lord, I change not." But we know God has changed, but not his truth. Circumstances may change that allows God to make a different. He told the king, he said, "Get your house in order, you're going to die." The king repented. The prophet who God sent to speak to him didn't even get out of the courtyard. He had to go back in and tell him, "God's heard your prayer. You're not going to die right now." Amen. God, I mean, Moses talked to God, and the Bible said that, Abraham talked to God, and Moses talked to God. They talked God out of some things. One place it said God repented of the evil he was about to do. He had every right to do it. We don't know what repent means. We think repent means, oh, you sin. No, repentance means change and go the other way. But because his covenant partner asked him to, he changed and went the other way. Amen? So to forget. But we know this. A person cannot sit around moaning and regretting the past. Moaning about. All you're going to do is concentrate on the past that way and live in the past. Things of the past have to be forgotten. Look at Hebrews chapter 11 for a moment. You know, God came to Abram and told him to get out of your country, get away from your family, to a land that I will show you. It wasn't like when he told the children of Israel when they were in bondage of Egypt, to a land flowing with milk and honey. God just told him, "Go to the land I'm going to show you." And, you know, from all accounts, Abram had it pretty good where he was. But now he's out wandering, you know, living. He's away from all of his family. Hebrews 11:15 says, "And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned." If they had been mindful. Now, the idea, and here again, as you do some study and you see the context, is if they had kept it in their mind. How many of you know the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness 40 years, keeping it in their mind? "I wish we'd go back to Egypt. We should go back to Egypt. We had it better in Egypt." Don't you remember? You are the same people that were crying for deliverance from Egypt. Now you're delivered and you want to go back. See, the memory. Because see, sometimes to obey God, it looks like all you're faced with are giants. I'm I'm gonna prophesy over you. Ready? There's gonna be giants this year in your life. That's not a bad confession. But let me tell you this, there's gonna be giant victories in your life. When you do what God says. Amen. How many of you want to be led by the Spirit of the Lord in everything you do? Jesus was led by the Spirit and was tempted of the devil. Don't be surprised if the devil doesn't show up in your leading. Or in other words, not in your leading. He's not the one leading you, but where you're led. Now, what do we know about God? God wouldn't lead you somewhere that he hasn't already paid the price and equipped you to overcome. But we have to apply the Word of God. See, he had to make a decision. Abram had to make a decision not to be mindful of that country, but to continue to go and to seek where God sent him. So how is it? How can we forget the past? Number one, we have to deal with our thoughts. Look in Isaiah 43. Here's something. You know God does this. I found this out about God. God never asked me to do something that he himself isn't doing. You know, sometimes we talk about love, how we have to love people, right? Well, God's not telling us to love people, and then he doesn't love people. He does love people. All right, Isaiah 43, verse 25, this is speaking by the prophet, but this is the Lord speaking here. I, even I, am he that blots out thy transgressions for my own sake and will not remember thy sins. Now notice that last statement, will not. It didn't say that God doesn't know you sinned. It didn't say God isn't aware of our sins. It says God is making an active choice and a conscious choice to not remember them. Because why? He has blotted them out. Now that's in the Old Covenant. Look over in Hebrews chapter 8. God said he will not. He's making a decision to do something. Well, it'd help if I turned to Hebrews 8. I turned to Romans. I've got it written down here. Romans 8:12 does not make any sense in this sermon. Sorry. All right. Romans 8:12. I'm Hebrews 8:12. Sorry. Whatever's on the board right there, that's what you read. All right. For I will be merciful to their unrighteous. Stop for a moment. Notice, I will. I will. Now see, in order to control thoughts, you're going to have to make a decision. I will think on this. I will not think on that. He said, I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. We have to learn to deal with our thoughts. When the remembrance of past failures, wrongs, hurts come, they must be taken captive. Those thoughts have to be taken captive and dealt with. Look what he said in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Now, these aren't new things, but it is so vital, I think, to what is before us that it's important that we get these things. Are you with me tonight? 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 4 and 5. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. God has endowed his children with mighty weapons. They're spiritual weapons. They're not carnal. That means they're not natural. We're not talking about just exercising some type of willpower here. We're talking about tapping into the supernatural ability that the child of God has from God to cast down and take authority and do away with strongholds in our life. Now, most people, when they hear strongholds, because you know, the devil's done a good job of impressing on everybody that he's strong. He's not talking about the devil here. The strongholds that we deal with, for the most part, are our ways of thinking and doing things, contrary to God's word. But I got good news for you. You've got mighty, I'm going to say it this way, you've got supernatural ability as a child of God to cast down and to change those ways of thinking. Now, a lot of times, you know, you think, well, I'm just, I don't feel very supernatural. How many of you have ever not sensed, if you will, the anointing until you actually stepped out to do it? Hey, amen. When you take the step and you start doing it, that's when the word works for you. All right. So he says in verse 4 there, pulling down of strongholds. How? Mighty through what? Through God. Not my own willpower, not my own ability, but through God. Verse 5. And here's what we do. Casting down imaginations. I've got a little note in my Bible next to the word imaginations. It gets down here and it says it said reasonings. You know, now, there's some things that we do reason out. Some things you have to reason out. He's not saying don't ever reason, but I'm telling you, if you reason something out and it's contrary to God's word, then you've reasoned wrong. You've imagined the wrong thing. But how many of you know if you can reason wrong or imagine wrong, you can reason right and imagine right in line with God? Casting down imaginations or reasonings and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. So what am I taking? What am I casting down? These imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself. In other words, that says, this is true, God's word isn't. It's exalted itself against the knowledge of God. See, when you have a symptom of sickness or disease, and a lot of times, you know, if we're not careful, we've gotten ourselves so trained to take care of our things in a natural way that we have gotten where we are out of practice in exercising spiritual authority. And then we don't start try to exercise spiritual authority until we get a real bad report. By his stripes we are healed means I don't even have to have a runny nose, a sore throat, a cough, a pain. But if we don't cast that down to man, that's exalting itself against the knowledge of God. And I'm not I'm preaching to myself tonight, okay? I was just up in, it's Friday night before. Some churches, I know they have church on Friday night. I was up Friday night before Christmas preaching at a church, and the Lord had me deal with authority over sickness and disease. And it's just that God, you know, and I know that with God, when God starts bringing something and you know, encouraging me about something, I know, get ready, I'm going to have to deal with something. Amen. This, was it Sunday I did that? Sunday after? This last Sunday, we didn't have church Sunday night, did we? So, we've had a clogged drain in one of our bathroom sinks for longer than I want to admit. So I decided I'm going to get down there and take it apart. Me and my pipe wrenches. I got it apart. But I didn't realize, I guess, there was that much water left in there. And that water was sitting in there for years. It was moldy. It was nasty. It was, and it got, I'm sure I drank several drops of, you know, just, you know. I finally got it back halfway together and told Amanda, I said, we are calling a plumber. I said, and when he's here, he's going to do this project, and that project. I'm at that age. I do praise God that I'm now able to get under the sink again. For many years, I couldn't, but I can now. But now I found out why I'm not skilled. I have the tools, I just don't have the skills. So I've already got my call in. But then later that afternoon, I started feeling the effects of that diseased water, if you will. Amen. Manny can tell you. And for about, a bit over 24 hours, I had to deal with it. Take authority over it. Amen. Thank God. By his stripes we're healed. All right. Keep reading here, verse 5. Every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Now notice this. And bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Now I think one of the greatest books that this ministry has ever produced is a little book called Right and Wrong Thinking. I think every one of you, we ought to read that every year. Just remind ourselves of it. Brother Hagin talks in there about this. Anything that, the idea is any thought that comes that tells you you're not going to win this time, that tells you something different than God's word, you have to take that thought captive and bring it into obedience to God's word and say, what does God's word say about it? Now, this can be tedious. I remember the first time. Anybody out there that played softball or baseball ever was a catcher? You were a catcher? You remember the first time you put that mask on? Now, I didn't catch full time, but I did catch some. But I remember the first time I put that mask on, just to put the mask on, all I could see, and I played before these, I played with the wire ones. You know what I'm saying? All I could see were those wires. I struggled, the first few times I struggled to catch the ball because all I could see was the wires. Then the first time I squatted down behind the plate and there was a batter that was going to swing, all I could see was the bat. But eventually, it became natural. And I could put that mask on, and I didn't even see any of that. It was like it wasn't even there, yet it was there. This is the process here. This is the same type of thing with taking thoughts captive. At first, it's like pulling that every thought, is that me? Is that the devil? Or is that God? Well, how do I know if it's God? Well, what does God's word say about it? See, you don't need a word from, you need the word. Know that first. Know the real. Then when the counterfeit shows up, you recognize it. But know what God's word says about it. I found out two things about that, because the Holy Spirit leads us and guides us into all the truth, right? The word of God. Couple things that have helped me that in this area. How do I know if that's God or not? Number one, does it agree with God's word? If it doesn't agree with God's word, then I have to let God's word be true. Romans 3, verse 4, let God be true. Every man a liar. That includes Tad. If I believe in something, or I'm acting on something, or I'm saying something contrary to God's word, I'm believing, acting, and saying the lie. Because God is true. The second thing, Jesus said in John 16 that the Holy Spirit will glorify me. So number one, does it agree with the word of God? Number two, does that glorify Jesus? Amen. Now those of you, that God has called in on your life, and because of this is a unique place because of how God raised up Rhema and with the Bible College and then the church and then all of us working together and all over the world, that many people around here are called and in the pulpit and different things of that sort, and many people here are part of the local church and they travel and minister all over the world. It's a great thing. We're part of a unique thing, a unique church here that God has raised up. And it's such a great honor to be part of it. But in thinking about that, you have to be careful in this. Is this what I'm about to do, what I'm about to say, is it to glorify Jesus or is it to bring glory to me? Now, I've been privileged and called of God to go around the world to different places and ministered in all kinds of different areas and seen just tremendous miracles. God do tremendous miracles. I mean tremendous miracles. Seen them here in the States, all over the world. But God did not heal one person or do any miracle to make Tad's name known. or Tad's ministry more known. He did it because he loves those people and to glorify Jesus. Amen? So you got to take thoughts captive. Well, if I write this book, I can make this much amount of money. Glory to you. Amen. All right, you don't like that, so let's move on. Take your thoughts captive. The second way to forget is live by the supernatural love of God. Romans 5:5 says, the love of God and hope makes not ashamed, because the love of God shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. See, here's the thing. Love is not limited to natural affections or natural emotions. Love is supernatural because God is love. And when God said, I will not remember their sins and iniquities any longer, I will not, you and I can do the exact same thing. Now, that doesn't mean that the accuser of the brethren, the devil, is not going to keep trying to bring those things up. He's going to keep trying to bring them, but we have to take those thoughts captive. I think God's showing us how he does things. See, it's not obliterating that thought. It's not obliterating the fact that somebody might have done something to you that was horrible, might have said something to you that was horrible. Can I tell you something, though? Get over yourself. Everybody's had that happen. There's not anybody that's lived on this earth very long that's had just every person they've ever encountered just be so wonderful to them. Have you driven on the roads around here? You know what I'm saying? Amen. But we've got that same ability that God has to forgive. Well, I'll forgive, but I'm never going to forget. What'd you say? I'm never. You're making a choice of your will to disobey God. Take your thoughts captive. Live by the supernatural love of God. Now, the second half of this is, and I'm just going to introduce this, and I'll probably finish this off some other time. Back in Philippians there, he said, reaching forth unto those things which are before. One of the keys to forgetting the past and walking free from the past is reaching forth to what lies ahead. It comes down to where is our focus? Where's my focus? Remember, if Abraham had looked back to the country he came from, he would have opportunity to return there. Now, how many of you know when you drive, we've got a rear view mirror and you got side mirrors. It's good to look behind you every once in a while, but you can't drive forward looking behind you. You have to just glance at it every once in a while. It's good to check every once in a while. There's nothing wrong with checking every once in a while where God brought you from. But we're focused that way. Wherever your focus is, you will fulfill. You will reach where you're focused. Now, he talks about later the prize of the high. Listen, this prize is a fixed position. Because he's talking about like running a race. Wouldn't it be horrible if they started off in the Olympics, you know, and they shot the gun up, boom, and the guys just ran and said, we'll tell you when you're done. Just run. But we think God has done that to us. God has specifics for our life. Reaching forth, he said. Reaching forth. I like that. It's that if you look that up, that reaching forth carries with it the idea of striving and stretching yourself out to reach forth, to take hold of something that's out in front of you. The Message Bible in Philippians 3:14 says this, I'm off and running, and I'm not turning back. I'm off and running, and I'm not turning back. There in Mark chapter 5, when that woman with issue of blood had been to many physicians for 12 years, had been to many physicians, was none better, but rather grew worse. When she heard of Jesus, she came in the press behind and touched his garment, for she said, if I can touch but his clothes, I shall be healed. When she heard of Jesus, whatever she heard totally changed her focus. I think about those 12 years every time she heard about a new doctor, maybe a new treatment, how that hope would rise up within her, and she'd focus on that. Instead of getting better, she got worse. But then she heard about Jesus. I do find it interesting in Luke's account, in Luke in chapter 6, it says, and many came and touched him and they were healed. Touched him. And then then Luke gives the account in chapter 8 of the woman with the issue of blood. It was after, maybe that's what she heard. I don't know. But whatever she heard so changed her focus that she did what she was not supposed to do, which was go out in public, because she was considered unclean, punishable by death. She went out in public. Her focus caused her to make a decision. I'm either going to live today or I'm going to die today, but this is over today. What she focused. Now, she just didn't say it once. The Bible says she kept on saying. Now, think about this. She doesn't have anybody to say it to. Nobody can be around her. She kept on saying. She kept on saying. The NIV says she said to herself and said within herself. She kept on saying. See, our faith confession is not for anybody else's benefit. It's for you. Amen. Her focus. I'm off and running and I'm not turning back. Well, how do we reach forth? I'll give you the points and then we'll teach on it later on because we're running out of time here. First, number one, identify the prize. Now, I'm going to tell you what the prize is. The prize is the calling of God on your life, whatever it is. That's the prize. It doesn't matter what God's called you to do. You want to stand before Him on that day and hear, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord. God called you to preach, you better preach. God called you to teach, you better teach. God called you to change diapers in the nursery, you better change diapers in the nursery. Right? He called us all to be ambassadors for Him, ministers of reconciliation. But the calling of God, identify that prize. All right? Second of all, put that prize first place. Make it your goal. What do I mean? Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Put it first. And then the last thing to reach forth, and I got a lot of scriptural support for this, so we'll come back to this probably at the end of the month. When I'm scheduled again at the end of the month, we'll see. Lord willing, we don't know, you know. I don't know. It may snow. I don't know. They may change their mind. I don't know. I don't care. You don't understand what I'm saying? But learn how to call things that be not as though they were. Call things that be not as though they were. Speak the prize. Speak words that lead you to the prize. This one thing I do. This one thing I do. Forgetting those things that are behind, I reach forth to what lies ahead. You're reaching forth, forgetting, reaching. See, it's one act, forgetting and reaching. Sounds like two separate, but it's not. They're connected, forgetting and reaching. Now, not everything you have to forget is negative in your life. There are some things to go do what God's called you to do next. You're going to have to forget the past, even the good things. Paul said whatever in Philippians 4:3 there, he said some of those things, he said, I counted it all loss. That I might gain Christ. Good or bad, it doesn't matter. Reaching forth and forgetting. And I don't think we've understood the supernatural ability God has given us to forget. Because He said, I will not remember. And He told us to forget too, so evidently we can say, I will not remember. Why? I choose not to remember. That's what God's saying. I choose not to remember. I thank God for the last 44 and a half years that I've been in the ministry. I thank God for every bit of it. And I'm standing here on the basis of that. Sometimes people ask me, how long did it take you to put that sermon together? Well, that one came from 44 and a half years. I'm honest about that. I'm very truthful about that. I thank God for all that. But I'm not bound to that. Thank God for it. It's in my rearview mirror. I might look at it every once in a while. God might bring it up and say, hey, remember when that, then do this. But my focus is this way, reaching forth. Amen? Tell your neighbor, reach forth. All right, let's all stand up together. Praise the Lord. Amen? It's going to be a great year. It's going to be a great year. Oh, yeah, there's going to be giants, but there's going to be giant victories. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Giant spiritual victories, giant relationship victories, giant financial victories, giant physical victories. Glory to God. Giant victories this year. Hallelujah. As we forget and reach, God's going to do it. Hallelujah. Our prayer teams are coming down right now. If you're here tonight and you need prayer for any reason whatsoever, come down, men, come to our men, ladies to the ladies. They'll pray with you according to the Word of God. Why? Because that's where our answers are, in the Word of God. Amen. Hallelujah. Don't forget, now we do have, we start off, I know the prayer group that I lead, praying for all the international Ramas around the world. We will meet tomorrow at 11:30 in SDC 2, room 201. So if you want to be here for that. Students, don't forget to come to class in the morning. Bundle up. It's going to be cold. But be there. Hopefully it won't be cold in the building. But I mean, you never know. You know how it is. You're in one room's the frozen tundra. The next is the desert. So you come ready. They come with their blankets and their t-shirts, you know, just trying to figure it all out. Glory to God. Amen. Tell somebody you love them tonight. You can be dismissed. God bless you. See you back Wednesday night, Hour of Power.